to have him with us the whole week. And he will be speaking for us in our classes. We have the adult class was in the back in here. We have the teenage class. And so we're looking forward to the things that he has to say this morning. But before we begin, we want to go to God in a word of prayer. If you would, bow with me. Father, which art in heaven, we humble ourselves before you at this time, thanking you for the day that is ours, for the restful night's sleep that we have had, for the health and the ability that we can be here this morning, and that as we come together to worship you and to study your word, we pray that we'll put the cares of the world away, that we will study and concentrate on the things that will be brought to us this morning from thy word. We pray for the one who will speak to us, that he may have a ready recall of those things that he's prepared, and then in that, they will be directly and only from your word. We pray for the meeting that is coming up this week also, Father. We ask that much good might come from it, and as we have opportunities to teach others and ask them to come, that we may take those opportunities. We pray that you'd be with those that are sick also, that they might have a speedy recovery to their health, if it be thy will. Also, Father, of the sins that we commit, we pray that you would forgive us as we repent and as we turn from them. And these things we ask in thy Son's name. Amen.
This morning, I want you to, just as we say, used to say when I was a little boy, you just tend like you're the only one here. Okay? You forget about everybody else, just you and me. And I'm going to talk to you about how you worship God. Okay? In studying the Old Testament prophets, we find that God's people got into ruts in worshiping God. Oh, they went through the sacrifices and they did a little bit of what God wanted to, but it was just out of tradition, just out of following the old, what mommy and daddy used to do. But their hearts weren't in it. Remember, Jesus tells us that in Matthew 15, verse 9. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He said, they honor me with their mouth and their lips, but their heart is far from me. They went through it. And I want you to know what I, through the last several years, have begun to witness is a casualness in our service to God. Not only in our service, but in our appearance and in our dress. The casual attire is taking over. And it affects us in our worship. Isaiah says that the ox and the ass, they found the stall. They knew their place. But God's people, he said, my people don't know me. Chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is, how do you worship God? Somebody said the difference between a rut and a grave is the rut has both ends knocked out. And sometimes we just get in a rut and we come to worship. I found my place, you know. And I get good and comfy. I notice you don't have back rest yet. But most churches do, don't they? I'm thinking about patenting this idea about lazy boy pews. I'm telling you that the day is coming when somebody on the end will have a little letter. You all ready? But just all... get in our comfortable positions. Some of us can remember when we had places to worship that didn't have backs on the pews. You been there? Done that? Some of you? You went to sleep. Great was the fall of it, wasn't it? So, does God accept that kind of worship? Somebody said, I'm too poor to pay attention. Well, that may be funny in school. Well, it's not even funny there, really. But especially not in worship. Well, I was there, wouldn't I? Well, that may be true. You may be there bodily, but you didn't get anything out of what you came for. We've come to worship God. I hope you haven't come to listen to Mo Hafley, because he's Larry Hafley's brother, whoever he is. But that you've come to worship God, and that's what you're going to do this week. You've determined, whoever it is, I'm going to be there. I'm coming to worship and serve Almighty God. My head is going to be in this worship. And we're going to talk about the individual aspects of our worship. One preacher preached the same lesson 3 weeks in a row. And after the third week, you know, somebody could handle it the first week, and the second, well, okay. But the third week, they thought something was wrong with the preacher. And he said, no, the problem is you. He said, you get this right, you start making some changes, then I'll quit preaching this lesson. And sometimes we need to hear things over and over because it's like your names. A lot of you introduced yourself to me this morning, and I'm going to have to hear your names again. Okay? Very seldom do I pick up something the first time I hear it and remember it forever. I'm not one of those fellas. And so we need to practice these things, and whether we hear this lesson over or not, we need to replay it in our minds. And say, okay, what kind of a worshiper am I? Am I being the best I can be? But we think, well, God's not paying attention to me. He doesn't know what I'm thinking. Think again. See, now I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, you may be looking right at me and thinking about, I hope I turn the oven off. Wonder how the Bears are going to do today, or the Bengals, or whatever. Okay? You can do two things at once. Okay? Are you paying attention? We were talking about long sermons this morning, the Blackaby's and I. And what we said was, the longest sermon you ever heard, you know what happened to it? It ended. And this one's going to end with a bell. Okay? The only one this week, I hope. What happens, we come and we need to pay attention to our services and what we're doing here while we worship God. That we're to worship Him, as Jesus said in John chapter 4, in spirit and in truth. We've come here for no other purpose. We learn in the book of Isaiah and all the old prophets, Leviticus tells us that God doesn't accept half-hearted, lame worship. The book of Malachi, chapter 1, he said, offer the things to your governor that you're offering to me. You're offering the lame, the sick, the blind, the diseased to me. Have your governor over for lunch and serve him those things. Well, you wouldn't do it. You have more respect for man than you do for God, for the one who is caring for you. God said, without spot, without blemish, not lame or diseased. And they were just going through the acts of their worship. Joshua said, choose you this day, chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, you may have the plaque on your wall at home. And paraphrase that verse, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a determination. I need to make that determination, and you need to make that determination. That while I am here, that's what I'm going to do. We're not playing church. Some of us played church when we were little on the back steps of the old home place or the basement steps or somewhere. We had Kool-Aid and crackers, remember? That's where my brother first started preaching to me years ago. Almost 50 now. I think he started preaching when he was 2 months old. Man, quit sin. But our worship needs to be devoted, concentrated. That yes, we do come here and we're glad as brothers and sisters we can meet each other and there's no association like this. I can have a relationship with you that I can't have with other people. Because we are teaching and believing and practicing the same thing. And we want to go to the same place and by the same way. There are not a whole lot of ways to go, there's just one. And by having this common relationship, we can have a wonderful relationship, not only with each other, but with God. Now, this morning, I don't want to be the old troll under the bridge, so to speak. You remember that story? I don't want to be that ugly old fellow. He's just going to browbeat us to death all week. I want you to be here for the purpose that God wants us to be here, to worship and to serve Him. I think we're swinging the pendulum to the extreme. Of casualness, as we said earlier. And we need to be sure that we're doing exactly what God wants. You know, we don't sing the song One Blessed Hour anymore. How long has it been? That's all some people want. One fellow said, Brother Hapley, he said, on Sunday morning we ought to be out at 12 o'clock. On Wednesday night we start at 7:30. We ought to be out at 8:30. On Sunday night we start at 6 and we ought to get out at 7. Well, we can cure that. We just started half an hour earlier, I said. Well, that's not what he wanted either. We just get in too big a hurry, hurry in, hurry out. We're on a time. See, we're everything we do. We get up in the morning, don't we? Either go to school, go to work, go here, go there, come home. We got to do this. Got to go to bed by this time. Got to get up at this time. And so we've got a time limit on everything. We get in a hurry, and so we're going to have to shut everything down. We ought to be here to worship and serve Almighty God and have the attitude of the rich young ruler, or at least ask the question, maybe not necessarily his attitude, but ask the question, what lack I yet? Am I lacking in my service to God? Can I do better? Shake your head this way. Yes, I can do better. And even as we said while we're talking about this, can my attention span, can it be off of somewhere? Oh, yes, it can. Smack yourself figuratively in the face. Okay, get back where you're supposed to be. Paying attention to what we're doing here, and it won't be but for a few minutes. It won't be for a few minutes. You'll be back home in just a little bit. So at least we can do what God has asked us to do for the few moments that He's asked us to do it. In our worship service, we have giving. We give as we're prospered. Do we? The people that don't aren't here, are they? All of us give as we're prospered, don't we? Don't we? God knows, and He's the one we're dealing with. Whether the elders know or anybody else know, God knows. We give as we're prospered, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. As I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him stored. If God has prospered him, how has He prospered you? What if God showed you, if He said, okay, I'm going to prosper you by the way you give? How would that work? We think the government takes a lot out of our checks. What would be left? If I give as I'm prospered, would there be anything? Or would I really be blessed because I give as I'm prospered? Paul talked to the church at Corinth about it in chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7. He said for them to give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. And that's where we get our word hilarious. You know, there are jokes that are funny. But then there are jokes that are hilarious, that you're bending over, falling on the floor laughing. Hilarious. That's hilarious. I need to give and be happy about it. Happy that I can give as much as I can. Didn't Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that if I sow bountifully, I'll reap bountifully? If I sow sparingly, that's how I'm going to reap? Sure. Sure he did. Is my heart in my giving? Am I giving or just am I just laying something in the collection plate? Something we need to think about, folks, not anybody else. I've got enough money for a CD, a VCR, a PC, and all the other initials to go out to Mickey D's and eat whenever I good and well want to, and then I'll struggle to put a little bit in the collection plate. God knows about that. All to Jesus I surrender, but don't you take any of my pleasures away from me. Don't you make me sacrifice anything so that I can give more to the local congregation. I need to be being sure of what God said and doing all that God said. Do I really surrender all to Jesus? One lady told me I worked for, or worked with at Caterpillar Tractor. I usually say when I was working for a living. Now, I can say that, but you can't. She said, I gave $150 last year. Let's see, 52 weeks. What does that divide into? About $3 a week she gave to her congregation. And she was bragging about it. And she was making all this money at Caterpillar. And she thought she was really doing something, giving $3 a week. Well, that spoke volumes about her, didn't it? We need to give as we're being prospered. Give cheerfully as we've purposed in our heart. Not when the collection plate comes back. Oh, boy, here. And when I go on vacation, does that mean the contribution goes on vacation with me? No. God starts taking away from us what we take away from Him. Like the little boy that was going to church. I remember this example. Tells you how old I am. The little boy had a nickel for ice cream cone and a nickel for the contribution. He was walking to church. His mother had sent him to church, and on his way he was swinging his arms, and one of the nickels rolled out of his hand down in the gutter. Guess whose nickel went in the gutter? I'm sorry, Lord. Couldn't be his ice cream nickel, could it? And sometimes we spend our money. We let it go down the gutter on other things, and sorry, Lord, you're going to have to pay for that this week. We need to give as we have been prospered. Give as we've purposed in our heart, and give cheerfully. Secondly, when we pray, how about our prayers? Is that a time to get a little snooze in when somebody's praying? Stayed up so late last night watching the late show. About this morning, I'm so tired. So when whoever's praying, I hope we're sitting when he's praying, and I hope I can get a little nap in while... You think God accepts that kind of worship? What do you think about that? If you were God and somebody was here to worship you, and that's what they did? Remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu when they offered strange fire unto God? What if the person next to you was consumed with fire? Because they weren't worshiping God as they should. Their heart wasn't in it. You know, I think that'd make me pay a little closer attention, wouldn't it, you? If I could see the burned remains, or the seat that used to be there, and the body that used to be there. I think I'd pay a little more attention, wouldn't you? I wouldn't be sleeping in service. I wouldn't be thinking about something else. I could stay at attention, couldn't you? God wants us to be believers, and believers with all of our heart. I may not be the prayer leader, but I need to be listening to that prayer. And if I cannot hear that prayer, I need to be praying a prayer of my own. I need to be in the worship service. Need to be praying as God has told us to do. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus said, "Don't you pray to be seen of men." How high does a prayer go that's prayed to be heard of men? Does God hear it? "I must not pray, neither should I pray to be seen of men, or heard of men," verse 7. That's what the Pharisees did. They went around in their religion so they could be seen of men, and they wore clothes to be seen of men. Do you know a religious denomination that does that today? We lived about a half a mile from a Catholic church. They had a big schoolyard, and every day during rush hour, the nuns and the priests, they'd walk out around the fence and the border of their schoolyard with their big, long, flowing ropes. It just happened to be during the busiest time of the day. And they'd walk around the outskirts with their big crosses dangling around their necks so everybody could see, oh, what a humble person they are. Jesus said, "Don't you be that way." You don't have to be that way to please God. What you're trying to do, if you do that, you're like the Pharisees, and they have their reward. Another thing that we have, not only giving and prayer in our worship, but our communion. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, usually we have a song to prepare our mind. Does it? Does the song that we have before the Lord's Supper, does it prepare your mind? Where is your mind, you see? God hasn't told us to do 50 push-ups when we come, does he? Hadn't told us to walk on our hands down the aisle to be pleasing to him. Everything in the worship service God has commanded every one of us can do. Every one of us. And most generally, all we have to do is just sit there and be working from the neck up. Yes, I realize that we'll talk about our singing. We're going to have to use our vocal cord, but even then our heart must be in it. When we're partaking of the Lord's Supper in the communion, Paul tells us that if our mind's not on it, we're not discerning the Lord's body. We are eating and drinking damnation to our souls. What if you had a birthday party and everybody came, and there I was sitting over there in the corner. Next year when your birthday rolled around, you're going to have a party. Would you invite me? Oh, there's a bump on the road. I don't want him. That's a happy day for me. He acted like he was unhappy about it. Well, when we come to worship God and commune and to discern the Lord's body, how are we doing? When you partake of the Lord's Supper, do you think about what you're doing? Did the song help prepare your mind for the Lord's Supper? And how about serving the Lord's table? Is that an honor? Is that an honor? In the last century, it was an honor to serve the Master's table. An honor. What about now? What about now? I get to serve the Master's table. It ought to be an honor. However we do it, whether we come up to the table, every one of us, as used to be done, or whether we serve it as we do today, our minds need to be on what we are doing. And if I'm serving the Lord's table, when I partake of those emblems, well, I've got to hurry now. No, my mind's not where it ought to be. I'm asking you, how do you worship God? God knows. God knows whether your heart's in it. He knows whether my heart's in it. The person directing the Lord's table. Can we read verses of Scripture? Can we make some comments? Brother Roy Cogle said the reason we started singing songs to help prepare our mind was to stop some of the older members from preaching another sermon at the Lord's table. We got to get out of here. We don't want to hear that. And then the customary song just becomes customary, and we don't think about what we should be thinking about. Can I read Isaiah 53? You know, we read that last week or 2 weeks ago or a month ago. I don't want to hear that again. How about the Gospels? Can I read that? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Sure. Put your mind where it ought to be. Another thing that we have in our worship service is singing. Singing. Sing with the spirit and with the understanding. We worshiped with a fellow who said every song has to be fast. Because that word spirit means fast. Well, it said pray with the spirit and the understanding. How about a real fast prayer? Oh, well, he hadn't thought about that. But he still didn't relinquish, and he's going to go to his grave thinking that if I sing Rock of Ages, then I'm going to go to hell. He said that every congregation that grows has fast singing. Of course, he can prove that. With the spirit and the understanding, not what he's talking about. I must be paying attention to the song, the words of the song. That's why we don't sing Rock Around the Clock. God said we're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, teaching and admonishing one another. Do you know that that's what you're doing when we're singing? Teaching and admonishing. Singing is good for you. I read a few months ago in a little article, I believe it's probably Reader's Digest, but it said people who sing a lot live longer. Happy people. Generally, we sing when we're happy. When I'm unhappy, I don't sing, do you? Generally speaking. And singing is not divine entertainment. I've been to denominational services where that's what it was. And when I walked in the building, I picked up a little bulletin and it said, the preacher's in concert tonight. He's not going to preach to us. He's in concert. And sure enough, I couldn't tell if I'd been to a concert or whatever. Just got in free. He had his musical background, a big old tape recorder, and speakers taller than I am on either side of the pulpit. And he walked back and forth much like Elvis did, singing and performing. That's what it was. That's what it was. Nobody else sang. He just sang. He was in concert. It is not divine entertainment. When I sing, does Jesus care? My heart needs to be in it. When I sing about the death of Christ, my heart needs to be in it. When we're singing the invitation song, God is calling the prodigal. It's not time for time buttoning up the kids, getting ready to go. Somebody beside me, next to me, behind me, in front of me, may be thinking about obeying the gospel. Here I go. I can't wait to come on, hurry up, get this over with so we can get out of here. Again, if you were God, would you accept that time of worship? We got to beat the Baptists or the Shoney's. We got to get out of here. Is that what I'm thinking? And if you were God, would you accept that? Or would you just let the earth open up and swallow somebody like that? Remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in number 16? Remember that? Paul said, Romans 15:4, the things which are written aforetime are written for our learning. And I can learn if my heart is not in my worship. Read the Old Testament. Read the minor prophets. They won't take you long. Read Isaiah 65. God said, you make me sick. Your offerings and the smoke of your offerings are just, they just burn my nose. You ever get smoke in your nose? No, that's not comfortable. And he said, I've held out my arms all day long to you, and you would not. And God tells us over and over, worship me in spirit and in truth. Have your heart in it. And you can do that. I know you can do that. Some bad habits are hard to break, aren't they? You ever bite your fingernails? Anybody? I used to bite mine off clear down to here. Yeah, it's a hard habit to break. But you can do it. You can do it. If your worship habits are not good, you've gotten in a rut, you found your pew every Sunday, and you're good and comfy, maybe you ought to change places. Help yourself to do all that you can to worship and serve God. Every one of us needs to do our part. And if all of us are doing our part in our service to God, won't it be better? Won't the singing be better? Prayers be better? Service be more reverential? Sure they will be. Sure they will be. Oh, of course they're going to have, a baby's going to knock his head every once in a while, and it's going to get somebody's attention. Or a communion tray may knock the pew or whatever, but don't let that be the total distraction. Preaching. Uh-oh. Shall I just leave that alone? I have a responsibility. Not just get up here and bore you to death talking like this for 30, 40 minutes and then... I'd need to stand up a few times, listen to somebody like that, try to stay awake, wouldn't you? I've heard speakers like that. Didn't have anything to say and it was obvious. Preacher has a responsibility, but you have a responsibility as a listener. A relative of mine, I can still see him when I was a little bitty boy when the pews used to be this high at Sycamore. I'm looking over the back of the pews. He'd come in, he sat on the other side of the aisle from us, but he'd come in, he took his hat off and put it down on the floor right in the aisle, and he never lifted his head. That was it. When I was a little boy, I thought that was funny. Uncle Ike, look at him. But it's not funny. And you know the people who sleep that nobody else sees me? Well, if nobody else did, God does. God does. I remember in school trying to act, get this way, I put my books underneath me and... Tried that? Been there, done that, right, yes. And the table, the desktop was so slick, I keep bust my nose on my book sometimes. That'll wake you up. I've seen these people go to sleep, and their head starts bobbing, and nobody else can see their head's falling off. Whoa! The headless horseman of worship service. It just won't work. It just won't work. You be the best listener you can be. Well, where I sit, there's a distraction. There's a couple with a little bit. Well, move. My boys would say, duh. figure that out. Or would I just rather sit there and, you know, it's I wish sometimes I could have a camera on some of the audiences that I preach to. And candid camera, have one, you know, here, you know, hidden. And have one behind the black border and the flowers there on this side. And see how people worship and say, tonight we're going to show it to you. You know, not tell anybody. Or I've even thought about having full-length mirrors kind of slanted, ceiling to floor, so everybody could see everybody. See, God does see. Read Proverbs 15 and verse 3. Read Hebrews 4 and verse 13. There's nothing that goes beyond the notice of God. Nothing. Nothing. You be the best listener you can be. Don't be a distraction. If you're sitting where a distraction is, move. Don't you be a distractor. Some people like to talk during services. Because they couldn't talk before and they can't talk after, they've got to talk during services. And they're not only disturbing the person that they're talking to, but themselves. There's two right there. Plus the people that are in front of them and beside them and behind them. And you know what I've done a couple of times when that's going on? I just come over and I do this. We're going to call a timeout when they get through with their conversation and we'll start again. You talk about pin drop quiet. You ever been in the audience where a preacher called somebody down? Would you stop that? Whoa. And mom and dad say, oh, please don't be my kid. Yeah. I misbehaved one time. I got to sit behind my mom and dad, and lo and behold, my dad turned around. I wasn't paying attention, and all I heard was, and after services, the kid said, boy, you're in trouble. We heard your dad snap his finger. Boy, was I in trouble. And you know what? I didn't want to do that again. After I got home and he got through with me, and we did our little dance. You know what I learned? That worship service was just that. And you know where I sat for the next year? Either beside them or in front of them. And finally, after a long, long time, they said, you think you can behave yourself now that you're 20 years old? You think? They made a believer out of me. That back row wasn't the place for me. Laughing and talking and passing notes. Connie Adams said he was cleaning the building. I don't know where it was, one congregation where he worked. And he found a little note and it said, when he's through, we're all going to Shoney's. When who's through? Well, he had a pretty good idea it was him. And somebody wasn't paying attention, were they? What were they thinking about? Old physical body. Could not pay attention. They're old enough to write, so they're old enough to know better. Than to do that. If you're going to write, take notes. Don't write notes, take notes. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I've had people tell me, and that may be so, I can't take notes and get something out. Well, whatever you do it to the best of your ability. But remember, you're not here pleasing me. You're here to serve God. And I'm not giving you from 1 to 10 on how you worship today. When you march out up here today, well, okay, give you 9.5. Okay, you get 7, and you... Well, God's already doing that. But it's how you do, not how He does. Do you have a responsibility to pay attention? Yes, you do. One fellow where I used to worship, we call it goosenecking on the farm. If something happened over here, he had to see what it was. And he sat where the cottagers are sitting. Here a mother getting up with a little baby. He had to turn around and see where it was. Like, I don't know where they're going. And one thing a mother with a little baby doesn't eat is, everybody's, she's already embarrassed enough, aren't you?
Been there.
You don't need that. I had a speed reading teacher tell me, I'll be able to leave this room and you won't know it. That was the first day we were there, and I said, there's never been a teacher leave the class that I didn't know about it. He said a helicopter could land right outside here and you wouldn't know it. Well, when he gave us 40 pages to read in 5 minutes and was going to test us over, he left the building and I didn't know it. So concentrating on what was going on. Did you see how many times that mother had to take that baby? No, I'm sorry, I didn't. No, I wasn't taking count. I was too busy. And that's the way we ought to be in our service to God. Just so focused. Did you ever go to the Unknown Soldier's tomb? Oh, I just get chills thinking about those soldiers as they march and there's no distractions. Nothing. In the heat, in the cold, whatever they're doing, they are precise about it. And we're not in the heat, we're not in the cold. In the summer it's cool, in the winter it's warm. And comfortable places to sit. What else do we need, folks? What else do we need? Well, maybe more time, but our time is gone. But I hope you've gotten the point. And that, see, I don't know how you worship. See, I've not been here. That's the reason I'm preaching this lesson first. I could have waited till Friday night and just blasted you. Save the worst to last. But let's be the best we can be. Whatever, when it's singing, praying, the preaching, the communion, giving as we prospered, let me be all I can be. Do what I can do. Thank you for your attention.